I had originally put in my notes that this week just flew by like a turtle. You get my illustration. I don't know how it's going for you out there, but for me, routines have kind of changed. I'm staying up much later at night and getting up much later in the day. Some of you are going to bed much earlier, getting up much earlier. So all of our routines are changing. I know our diets are changing. This is a heck of a time to have to get through, but we're getting through. Amen. There you go. I got it out there. Captivity, my friends. Captivity is life, not in slow motion, but practically no motion. For those of us who like a little zest in life, these are tough times. Let's look at some things we can do to add some zest back in. This past Wednesday, I talked about developing muscle memory, and especially was referring to the muscle memory of faith. I think you can go back and watch it on Facebook Live if you missed it, but the gist of this was that the more we use a muscle, the stronger it gets, and it's the same with our spiritual walk of faith. Then, looking at our devotional reading this week, Oswald Chambers identifies four habits that we need to develop. That is, four muscles, if you will, that can strengthen and will help us. Very quickly, here they are in summary. Number one, the habit of keeping a clear conscience. I think that sounds pretty good, having a clear conscience. Number two, the habit of enjoying adversity. That doesn't sound so good. Number three, the habit of rising to the occasion, which to me sounds curious. It's challenging, and perhaps it's a bit expectational. I like that word, expectational. The habit of rising to the occasion. And number four, the habit of recognizing God's provision, which is, of course, so necessary for our spiritual growth and, in fact, for the first three to even develop on their own. Now, to set the stage for these four habit developments, he suggests that we identify our shortcomings and then look for opportunities to meet them or to develop the missing quality. Can we think of any shortcomings? Of course we can. You know, in business, the saying is find out what your weakness is and then staff that. Staff your weakness. But in the spiritual walk, one must develop around your weaknesses. We can't just say, well, I'm no good at that, and let it be. If God is calling you into a thing, you can't say to him, I can't do it. If he's the one calling you into a thing, then he will give you the giftings and the ability, even the power to do the thing. So far, so good? All right. Now, at this point came a very short sentence about Jesus that I almost blew by without notice. I know that's how it is when we read. We read a lot of words, and a lot of them just go past. But this was almost like the Holy Spirit had yanked on my reins, and he pulled me back. He was bringing my eyes physically back to that sentence. You know, he wanted me to have another go at it. He said, speaking of Jesus, quote, he was at home with God anywhere, unquote. Jesus was at home with God anywhere. He was so tuned in to the Father that no matter where he was or what he was doing or what was being done to him, Jesus was at home with the Father, anywhere, anytime. He then asks, is there some place where you are not at home with God? And this morning, whether there's just a handful of people in the church or whether you're all out there in the world, we're all able to ponder the question, is there anywhere that you are not at home with God? My mind floods with all kinds of thoughts and illustrations I could use from my own life of parenting, and certainly from my own life as a child, when the child certainly was not at home. The behavior just wasn't fit for the home. I mean, how many times has a parent said, that's not how we do it here. That's not how things are done in this house. That's not how we live. Or something like that. It's kind of like the prodigal son left home to do his own thing. Do you remember that story? So whether it's the thoughts of the mind or the actions of the feet, God doesn't participate in our unrighteousness, does he? Of course not. We've all learned what it is to feel alone. And being without the Lord is the highest form of aloneness. When we determine to stay away from the Lord, we also have to develop a hardness of heart and a deafness to his spirit to keep him from bringing us back. You see, we do develop habits, and these habits reinforce our relationship with the Lord, or they reinforce our separation from him. Let's look now at these four habits that we could develop that would help us stay at home or get back home with Jesus. Maybe we should flash the sign, stay at home, stay alive. Number one, the habit of keeping a clear conscience. Acts 24:16 tells us to keep a clear conscience before God and all people. It's simple, huh? The simple answer is for us to listen to God and then obey what he tells us, right? No problem. But if you're like me, I find myself questioning him. I find myself trying to fit into his plan what I want to do. I find myself, you ready for this? Debating with God. Anybody debate with God? It goes like this. Hey there, let's make a deal. It's like I'm trying to say to God, I'll obey you if you will such and such. What arrogance, what foolishness, I mean, what stupidity. And I'm quite sure you know how it turns out in my life because you do the same. And you can look at your own debates and see the results. So to keep a clear conscience, one must first obey and then let God be God and accept the outcomes. You see, a clear conscience is clear because it isn't dirtied up. It isn't covered in fog. It doesn't have a bunch of stuff in the way. It's up to us to keep the conscience clear. And this allows the Lord to show up in majesty and power or in humility and quietness. He shows up either way. Now, number two is the habit of enjoying adversity. Now, I don't mind telling you this, that I didn't like that one at first. I don't like adversity much, do you? Much less trying to enjoy it. Well, Chambers says this, and I quote him again, "No matter how difficult something is, you must say," this is hard for me to even get this out this morning, "Lord, no matter how difficult this is," pause, anybody facing anything difficult? Here's what you should say to him. "Lord, I am delighted to obey you in this." I'm in a difficult time. I want out. I'm begging the Lord to get me out. I must learn to say, "No matter what happens, oh God, even in this, I'm still going to be faithful and true and obey you." You must not debate, Chambers says, because if you debate with God, you grieve his spirit. Ouch. His point is that if we truly identified with the life and death of Jesus Christ, we will endure even as he did, even in adversity. Now, I'm not there yet, but I want to be. This is a muscle in me that has atrophy, I guess. So perhaps I need to be in the gym of the Holy Spirit building this muscle. One thing is clear to me, though, that God isn't letting me off the hook. He isn't spoiling me. He wants me to come to him and enjoy this life no matter what is swirling around me. I want to debate him about it. But I know now that that is a waste of time. I'm learning to yield. And folks, let me tell you that in yielding, there is peace. So Jesus would say to you this morning, even through a Facebook Live video, Jesus would say to you, "Be at peace." Number three was the habit of rising to the occasion. I like this one. This one was, for me, a bit expectational. That's because I'm a glass is half full kind of guy, and I love to look for what's coming. To rise to the occasion means there must actually be an occasion. Life is about to happen, one way or the other. Now, the scripture he gives is Ephesians 1:18, quote, "that you may know what is the hope of his calling," unquote. Now, let me just break that down real quickly. A, that you, that means who? You. B, may know. Well, that means that you will discover, that you will learn, that you will experience. That you may know. C, the hope. Hope is a form of faith. It's a form of obedience. It's a form of solid expectation, so that you will know the hope. And finally, of his calling. Now that means Jesus Christ in full revelation, not only to me, but also in me. Not only to you, but also in you, that you will know the hope of his calling you. Now, if we were actually in church right here, Rex would say, "Glory!
Glory!"
There he is. Here's where the Christian should shout from the housetops, "Bring it on, Lord Jesus! Bring it on! I know you are with me." Okay, church, repeat after me. I know you are with me.
I know you are with me.
I know you can do the impossible.
I know you can do the impossible.
I know that you are in charge.
I know
that you will accomplish your will.
I know
that you will fulfill
in me
your plans as I allow. And so I say, bring it on. Let God be God. Let him give you occasion. Rise to the occasion. Let the coming of the Holy Spirit in life do stuff in life. Dear ones, develop the habit of rising to the occasion so you don't miss a God thing. Chambers puts it like this. When he's talking about the scripture that says, work out your own salvation, he says, and I quote again, are your speech, your thinking, and your emotions evidence that you are working it out? If you are still the same miserable, grouchy person set on having your own way, then it is a lie to say that God has saved and sanctified you, end quote. I know that'll create a lot of debate about people who talk about once saved, always saved, and all of that. But the whole idea in theology here is sanctification is our becoming and being perfected. To be sanctified means that we are made fully righteous. And I think that's why he's saying we are working this out as we live. He says, again I quote, it does not matter how much it hurts, as long as it gives God the opportunity to manifest the life of Jesus in your body. Oh my gosh. If I find myself hurting, my first recalls to God are, hey God, stop the pain. Isn't that how you would approach it? And it might not be physical pain. Let's say it's an emotional pain. Let's say it's a relationship pain. Let's say it's a financial pain. Whatever the pain is, the first thing you and I do in pain is we say, oh God, make it stop. Yes? And what he is saying is that we should look for the ways that God will manifest himself even in the pain. I guess we would call that maturity. He leads us in this prayer. May God not find complaints in us anymore, but spiritual vitality. My prayer to God in part is, oh God, don't find in me a complaining person. Forgive me for complaining. And instead, show me what you're up to, oh God. Show me what it is you're doing in this situation. Show me where it is your Holy Spirit is revealed, so that I can participate. It's like that old saint says, get under the spout where the glory is pouring out. Jesus is calling us to rise in our faith even as he arose to his Father. Jesus is calling us to let him rise within us. Jesus is, you see, raising the bar of life so that we can actually have a life. Number four, the last habit, it follows naturally with this, the habit of recognizing God's provision. You see, because he is in charge and does the impossible and will accomplish his will, our job is to recognize it. Our job is to quiet the voices of this world and listen to the voice of the Spirit. Our job is to detach from the unrighteousness of the world and firmly attach ourselves to Jesus Christ, knowing that his kingdom and his will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. So it seems to me that the more I recognize what God is up to, the more God seems to do. As I begin to recognize that he's involved in my life, it seems to allow him to do even more. On the other hand, that's Tevye. On the other hand, boy, do I hate the other hand. The less I recognize God in my life, then it's just up to me. I go without him. I go without his power. I go without his ability, and it's just left up to me. I am so much better off with him, right? You get it, don't you? God is love, right? And as the old song says, more love, more power, more of you in my life. Less God means less love, less power, less of him in our life. The scripture for May 16th is 2 Peter 1:4. You can look it up later, but it says in part that you may be partakers of the divine nature. How many of us want to be partakers of his nature? We've all discovered, at least in some measure, that the way of love is certainly the best way there is. We conclude with this thought from Chambers. He says, and I quote, "No sin is worse than the sin of self-pity because it removes God from the throne of our lives, replacing him with our own self-interests." I mean, this is big. Perhaps this is the biggest. Folks, what does God want? If you try to distill it all down, what is it that God Almighty, creator of everything, what is it that God wants? He wants you. Right? He wants me. He wants us. And so this morning I say again, I choose you, Lord. Say it with me. I choose you, Lord. I choose to develop the habits of following the way of the Lord, the way of the Spirit, developing the muscle memory of the habits of seeking and obeying the Lord. So I want to encourage you, every one of you, that it's never too late to start following Jesus. It's never too late to come back to him if you've strayed away. It's never too late to call upon him. If this is all new stuff to you, there may be people watching today that are trying to figure out what this guy is even talking about. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about him saying to you, come to me. It's never too late to do that. You're not too old to do it. You're not too young. He is the one right now calling you to himself. As long as we have breath, we have access to our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave us breath at the beginning, the one who wants the very best for us, as determined not by us, but by him. You see, it's his best that we seek, because we are called to seek and follow him, not this world. Regardless of the captivity, regardless of the government, regardless of the negative voices that are screaming at us, regardless of the circumstances of current life, Jesus Christ is Lord, and he wants you. Folks, let the wonder happen. Let the surprises of God happen. Purpose to develop the muscle of faith and watch what happens. God bless you today. Pastor Skip out.